Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Thinking about questions that God asks. We looked at one last week in chapter 4, in the life of Moses. As you recall, this scene takes place when God is calling Moses at age 80, after spending 40 years in the wilderness working for his father-in-law. God shows up, catches his attention with a bush that's on fire but does not burn up. God has a conversation with him. God tells him, I'm going to send you to Egypt. And we know from the background of the story that the people had been in bondage. They had been enslaved by the Egyptians for a long, long period of time, multiple generations. So I'm going to send you back and you're going to lead my people. Bring them into freedom and bring them to a land that I promised your forefathers. And suddenly Moses has objection, whoa, got the wrong man, all that sort of thing. And in the midst of this, our point is not to get into the objections, but into the questions God asks. There's basically four or five, depending on how you want to count them, objections that he raised. Like, no, I'd get somebody else. But in two of these occasions, God asks a very pointed question, and that's what we want to look at. Because the questions that God asks have a way of just freezing us in our place. It has a way of just getting our attention, and it demands an answer from us. These are ancient questions, but they're absolutely vital for us today. And thank you for joining me in this study. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. If you want to cast your eyes down to verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4, we find these words. Then Moses said to the Lord, by the way, you always need to be careful what you say to the Lord, right? Be rather careful about this. Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I guess I should read that differently, shouldn't I? Maybe I should pause and stutter and kind of, you know, make that sound very halting in the speech, but I won't. I'll spare my dramatic skills for another time, all right, if I had any. So nonetheless, he says, Lord, I can't talk for you. The question that God is dealing with today, the question that addresses the subject, is the issue of feeling defective, our defectiveness. In other words, in the previous one we looked at last week, where God says, what's that in your hand? Well, it's a rod. Let me show you what I can do with a stick. Here the objection is not, Lord, I can't do this. That was the first objection. I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes for the task. Here he's saying a slight variation on the same theme. You got to know, Lord, there's something about me that's defective. It's deficient. There's a part of me that's broken. You left something out of me when you made me, and because of this deficiency, this thing I don't have, you got the wrong guy. So let's think about how that comes to be, and this is where I think it's going to be helpful. I'm very convinced that what this passage is telling us is for somebody this morning. Maybe that somebody is me. Maybe that somebody is you. Maybe that somebody is many of us. But many of us live our life feeling like there is something wrong with me. And I want to just talk about how we have two options how to deal with this, okay? We feel this way, two options. Option number one, you can just stay stuck in your defectiveness or your view of it. And I put defectiveness in quotes because I'm not saying anyone's defective, but sometimes we feel that way. There's something about me that just is not right. Now, we think about where that comes from, and I want to suggest to you it starts very, very early. Go back to your high school days, but go earlier than that. Go back to your early school days. It probably goes back further than that. Go back to your preschool days. Probably goes back to that level somewhere when you first start having awareness. And here's where this being stuck. In other words, just stay there. Don't do anything about it. Don't make any progress. Just say, stuck. I'm broken, God. I'm just stuck with that. I'm just enduring till the end. Just hanging on until something happens. Look, I want you to see in a moment what God says, but I want to talk about how we get there. Now, He says this about himself in verse 10. O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before or since you have spoken to me. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. How many times does Moses have to say what he thinks is wrong with him? I'm not eloquent. I don't speak with great flowing words and poetic voice. I don't have a voice that just reaches out and captures someone's attention. I'm not eloquent. I don't have the words to say. And he says not only that, but he says, I'm slow of speech. I can't think on my feet. I can't get words out. I can't communicate well. I'm just not good at talking. And you want me to go back to see Pharaoh? You want to find a talker? It's probably Pharaoh. He probably made brilliant speeches. He probably had speechwriters, but he had brilliant speeches. He had all the regality of not only a king, but of the divine in their concept. I can go talk to him. I mean, I can talk to other sheep herders. The sheep and I have a little conversation on occasion. But you know what? Talking to Pharaoh is a little bit out of my comfort zone. He feels this defectiveness because of something that happened in the past. And I'm going to give you something that's going to help us understand this being stuck. First of all, it's caused by our comparisons with others. Some of you can remember being in second grade. You know what? Oh, she's the prettiest girl in the class. She's the most popular girl in the class. She's the one everybody runs to and wants to listen. And all of her jokes are funny. And she's the one that the teacher calls on for every question that's asked. She's the star of every show. She's the subject of every conversation. And she has all this charisma and all this. And she has all that. And then there's just me, hunkered down in the back corner. Because I'm not her, there must be something wrong with me. Or maybe you remember in fourth grade, there was that kid in the class. Not only was he good at football or baseball, he was good at every sport you could come up with. He was Mr. Athlete. He was like head and shoulders the rest of all, you know, bigger than all the other boys. He could run faster than anybody in the class. And when you were going to have games on the playground, he was picked number one. In fact, he usually got to be the captain. He's the one who got to pick all the other ones. And the one thing you don't want to be is picked last when you go down this list. I'm not him. Therefore, there's something wrong with me. It doesn't stop in adulthood, does it? We look around at all the people that we think are perfect. And by the way, a lot of the times the things that we think are perfect are people is not because they are perfect or have skills that are outsized. A lot of times it's because they only show so much of themselves. What they put online, what they put out in public is a carefully curated version of themselves. And if you can see behind the scenes, it may not look quite as together. Nonetheless, we compare. I wonder who he's comparing himself with. I bet it's the guy that's on the throne back in Egypt because I think they knew each other because they grew up together. Moses, the failure. Pharaoh, the success. Moses, the outcast. Pharaoh, the center of attention. Moses has no power. Pharaoh has all power. I'm not him. Therefore, there's something wrong with me. Now, the question God's going to ask in just a moment is going to just directly address that. But understand, that's where it comes from. And by the way, what we need to get over, we just need to get over a good dose of our comparing. And you see that because he's focused on himself in verse 10. I am slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. I'm not eloquent. He's just so focused on all the things that he views that are wrong about himself that he's missing what God says about him, which we'll come to in just a moment. And that's number two. It continued by self-focus. We just get so inward focused. And we just pile on ourselves. We know everything that we don't like about ourselves, all the things that we're not comfortable about ourselves, all the things that we don't feel we can do, all the things that we're fearful of, all the things that make us uncomfortable, all those sort of things. We just feel like there's something wrong with me. And if we just stay stuck there, that's option number one. A, that's not going to allow God to use us for his best purposes because we're getting in the way of it. And number two, it's not really good for us, and it's certainly not good for the people around us. If we can break free of the comparison and self-focus, it goes a long way. That self-focus just turns inward and focuses on all the things I wish I had, all the things I wish I could do. And we can just let that, we can just throw all those ingredients in a big pot of our soul and stoke the fire of our own fears and just kind of season it with our own anxieties. And suddenly we have cooked up a brew that's going to destroy us and poison us if we're not careful. All right? Number three, here's the end. It culminates in helplessness and hopelessness. In other words, I am not them, whoever they are. Therefore, there's something wrong with me. The more I focus on me, the more downward spiral I get. I think that's where Moses was. I think Moses probably was pretty well down in the dumps when God showed up. And rather than saying, God, you're going to do something great, let's go forward, he's instead spending his time saying, not me, I can't, I don't have the stuff, I'm not the guy, I'm the one that's broken, I can't talk well. And then lastly, it leads to this, I'm just going to stay here and take care of sheep. God's offering him this job, right? I want you to go and do the thing that your people have been praying for 400 years. I'm going to give you the opportunity to bring them out of this terrible thing of bondage. By the way, it's something you tried 40 years ago and messed up, because you probably were doing it in your own strength, not mine. But now I give you this opportunity, a second chance to do what you really wanted to do, and you're sitting here saying, I can't, it's hopeless. Just let me chase sheep around until I die. That's all I got left. That sense of being stuck, that sense of being hopeless. Well, we don't want to stay there. There's no future in that. I want you to see the question. You ready for the question? Here's what God asked. I love this question. Of all the questions I think of in the Bible, this is near the top, okay? So let me read 10, because you got to get the flow. Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Don't you just love it? I don't have a good mouth. Who do you think made it? I made your mouth. That's a mouth I know all about. I'm the mouth that, I know everybody's mouth. And look what he also says. This is powerful, by the way. Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? There's another question, but it goes back to the first one. You think of all the things that we put in the liability catalog, being unable to speak, mute, that's one of them. He goes down the list. He says, not only, I made man's mouth, but he says, what about the deaf, those who can't hear, those who can't see, the blind? Who made them? I did. Doesn't that change our perspective about life in general? We see whether it's ourselves or someone else has what we call a handicap or a liability, and we say, man, that's tough. It is tough. Now, I don't understand how all this works. I'm not smart enough, nor do I think any of us collectively are smart enough to be able to understand all of God's working and all of God's will. But he just simply wants us to trust him that what he has made and what he's made you to be, what he's put in and what he's left out, is part of his plan. Option number two, we can move forward in his perfection. Option number one, you can get stuck in your defectiveness, quote unquote, or you can move forward in his perfection. In other words, he is perfect. There's nothing left out in him. He decides who gets what and who gets left out, so to speak. But he says, I know when I call you, Moses, to be my spokesman, I know what I'm getting because I made you. I know all about you. There's no accident. I didn't, just pull you up on ZipRecruiter and found out I got someone that wasn't qualified for the job. I know you. And God in his perfection knows all of us. And he knows what we can and can't do, and more importantly, what he can do in spite of who or what we are. He gets to choose. Now you think about it. You and I know the rest of Moses' story, right? There's Moses saying, oh, I'm stuck. I can't go forward. I'm not going to make any progress. I'm just hopeless. I'm just a sheep herder. I'm a has-been sheep herder. That's all I am. God comes along and says, who made your mouth? I'm the one who makes all these things. I'm the one that leads you along. I know what I'm doing. And then we know the rest of Moses' story. He eventually does go to Egypt. He goes face to face, toe to toe with Pharaoh. The miracles of God flow through him. His people are led out of bondage. They walk through the Red Sea. They meet God at Mount Sinai, and the law is given to them. He leads them in the wilderness for 40 years, and Hollywood makes a movie about his life. That's a pretty good record, isn't it? Actually, Hollywood's made multiple movies about his life. But you know what? At this point here, he's at a pivot point. Am I going to just say, I'm helpless and hopeless? Or am I going to say, Lord, you're the God who's perfect. You know what you're doing. In spite of what I think about myself, I needed to put my eyes on you rather than on myself. Now, he says several things that are important here. You see, he looked first at himself before he looked at what God was calling him to do. Oh, Lord, I can't speak. I can't talk. I'm not the guy. When we look at ourselves before we look at what God is doing, we become discouraged. Or if we look at ourselves and God second, we just kind of run into this defeated attitude. And God is puncturing a hole in that balloon by saying, who made man's mouth? who made the seeing and the blind, the mute, and the deaf, and so forth. I know exactly who you are. I know what's going on, and I want you to be involved with it. Now, let me also say this before we get into these 3 points of how we move forward in perfection. I'm not suggesting that this means that we're just passive in life. Okay, God, you can do anything you want. Go at it. No, Moses had to pick up his staff and go marching back to Egypt. He had to go and walk in front of Pharaoh and the rest of the story. It wasn't passivity, but he took action. And God does not want us to be passive in learning and growing and developing. If we have skills, maybe we have skills that are a plus and advantage to us. Those skills need to be developed. We need to learn. We need to train. We need to practice. We need to have some serious evaluation about ourselves. We need to learn and improve and do all those sorts of things. But that connected to what God can do, with the confidence that God is in charge, that God has made me the way he wanted me to be, that God is speaking to me, that God can use me, that God is the ruler of all, and I just have to submit myself to him and say, Lord, it's all for your glory. That combined with the efforts and the steps that we take in obeying him takes us to a place that God is glorified and our hearts are purified and our lives are made better because we're walking the way he wants us to walk. So how do we move forward in perfection? Number one, we need to accept his purpose. What was Moses' purpose? To go back to Pharaoh and lead my people to freedom. Now, God maybe hasn't given us a clear burning bush experience of what he wants us to do, but nonetheless, God wants us to be a follower of his. God wants us to live our life for him. He wants our testimony to make a difference in this world. He wants to use our lips. Sometimes we're kind of halting and faltering, and sometimes we're not eloquent. But he wants us to use our lips to share the fact that we are followers of Christ, let people know. He wants us to use our hands, our talents, our gifts, and even our liabilities for his glory. Because I ask you, compared to God and his perfection, you know, we talk about comparing our strengths to our weakness to other people. That's a trap. But sometimes when we compare our strengths to God's strengths, even our strengths are liabilities. Because even the best human compared to God is greatly flawed, greatly defective. That's the reason he sent Christ to be a Savior. And that's the reason he sent Christ to be your Savior. If you never accepted him as your Savior, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning except to say this. You need to accept him as your Savior. Jesus died to pay sin's price, and he wants to welcome you back into his family because you have believed in him. If we could help you understand what that means or answer your questions, whatever, just ask to see me or Pastor Adam or Pastor Tim or a Christian friend, somebody. Or maybe you can just do a deep dive yourself into the Word of God and see what it says about being a follower of Christ. Follow him. But for us, accept his purpose. In other words, Lord, I would have to say, Lord, I don't even know what that is. Except I want to follow you. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of walking around feeling like I'm broken and defective and I don't measure up and everybody else is ahead of me. And when it comes to every game, I'm always the guy that crosses the finish line last. That's how I feel about me. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about me living for you. It's about me honoring you, about me worshiping you, about me obeying you, about me following you, about me serving you, about me loving like you love, about forgiving like you forgive. And being excited about living this life and to pull myself out of this miry concoction of my own helplessness and hopelessness and despair and discouragement and say, Lord, I am tired of being stuck as a victim in this reality that I think I'm defective and realize I'm made just the way you wanted me to be made. And now you want to improve on that product as I obey you and let your power flow through me. So accept his purpose. Number two, we need to adopt his focus. Let me read 11 again. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. I'm sorry. I just find it humorous. I don't talk very good, Lord. Well, who made man's mouth? I'll tell you what. I'll go with you, and I'll be with your mouth. How about that? Here's the deal. Tell you what to say. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to give you the confidence to say it. Notice God doesn't say, I'm going to fix your mouth. Maybe the thing we feel defective about may never change. He says, I'm going to be with you, even in what you are, quote, unquote, saying is defective. I'll be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be right there with you. And we need to just understand this is the focus. God is with us if we're one of his children. Lean into that. Lean on that. Count on that. When we're just scared to death for that, to take that next step, just tell yourself again and again, Lord, you're here with me. I'm trusting you. Give me the words to say. Give me the strength to stand, whatever it is. Lord, I'm leaning on you. Adopt that focus. It says, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Now, I wish I could tell you that Moses immediately says, okay, Lord, you've convinced me. I'm ready to go. And maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I wish I were convinced I'm ready to go. But you know what? It's kind of hard, Pastor. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much I've been hurt and beat up and how much wreckage there is in the past, whatever it is, or the fears that are inside. And sometimes we all feel like that little second grader scared to death. But you know what? Here's the answer. Here's what you focus on. The God who's the only God that there is. The God who's the God that's revealed in the Bible. The God who is the God who made everything that exists. The God who's the God that holds everything together. The God who's the God that will judge everything and bring everything to his culmination. That God says, I will be with you, even in that part that you may think is defective. In Moses' case, it was right here. Your case, it might be somewhere else. But nonetheless, God will be with you. That's the focus. That's where we zero in on. And then we need to simply acknowledge his perfection. Lord, you're perfect. What you say goes. How you lead, I'll follow. I'm going to trust in you. What you make is what you made. The life that you give me to live is the life that I'm supposed to live. I'm just going to lay it all down at your feet and go forward. And here's what the brave man of God says. Verse 13. He said, oh, my Lord, please send by my hand whomever else you may send. Lord, thank you for that pep talk. Find somebody else. That's my paraphrase. That's what he basically says. Look at verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well, and look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees your heart, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put my words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. If I could also paraphrase, he said, I'm going to be with your mouth, be with his mouth. Basically, he's telling him, why don't you shut your mouth for a moment and just do what you're told. God is a little bit perturbed. He's angry. No, just do what you're told. I know what I can do. Verse 16, so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. And then he finally, in verse 18, heads off for Egypt. He was reluctant. Now, there's a particular verse that's found, it's found in chapter 7, verse 22 of Acts, of all places, where Stephen is talking and preaching a sermon. And basically, he says in that passage, he says this, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Whether that means he got there as he trusted God or maybe he was just faking it all along, I don't know. But nonetheless, don't leave here with God angry at you. Leave here with saying, Lord, I do feel defective in some area of life. But you know what? Whatever that is, you made it. You can do great things with it. I simply want to acknowledge that what you do is perfect and your will, your purpose is in place. I want to adopt this focus of thinking about you, just knowing the simple truth that you are with me. Can we say it this way? Our flaws can be tools in the hands of God to do amazing things for him. We all can zero in on those flaws, but I want to encourage you, don't be stuck. Move forward in his perfection. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. And may this day be a turning point for someone. Maybe some of us needed to hear what God says. This Moses who's standing around saying, got the wrong guy because I can't talk. My mouth doesn't work well. And God says, I made your mouth. I'll give you your brother Aaron if you need another mouth. There you go. And I'll be with you and I'll be with his mouth and we're going to accomplish this thing. All you need to do is just get your mind focused on me. And even the flaws that you're looking at, Moses, are going to be tools in my hand that's going to do amazing things for God. God calls us to simply do this. We need to reflect on his word. We need to think about his word and see life being changing for us. Let's pray as right now. I'm going to pray for you, but let's all pray for each other. Let's pray for ourselves that we won't be stuck. Rather, we believe.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.